Honourable Members, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
You are fine. Thank you, the Honourable Member, for answering.
He's the only one who's fine.
He was delegated to speak.
I was just
representing. Thank you for representing the masses there. Honourable Members, the agenda before us today, having welcome and opening up the meeting. The apologies. Another apology. Oh, still bringing in chairs. The apologies, Anele. Any apologies? Van der Veste. That's all. Honourable Members, our agenda today deals with the continuation of the consideration of the National Qualification Framework Amendment Bill. And we will then close the meeting thereafter. Is the agenda in order? Moved and seconded. Having said that, Honourable Members, welcome to the Department, welcome to Parliament's Legal. Advisor, the State Law Advisor, the stand-in for Montajo. What is your name? Dennis Bundy is his name. He's standing in for Mampajo. Welcome also to the meeting, and thank you very much. We welcome back the member from the EFF. Honourable Members, the agenda, as I said, is the consideration. Just to recap for you, in the last meeting that we had, having ask questions to the department, having received the document that the Parliament Legal Advisor gave us, we then, Honourable Members, then had the motion of desirability, which we adopted in the committee. Having done all of that, Honourable Members, I want to put to the committee that in considering the bill further, I trust that all of you have been able to look at the submissions that were made. You've all been able to look at the department's responses, proposals. We yesterday had a smaller delegation that met at SACWA. We've heard, I think, some more valuable information that was given, and we were able to have a face-to-face engagement with Dr. Blom, who then walked us through the issues as it relates to what she called the private institutions, and then pointed out to us the areas that they experience with the delays that the CHE is causing them, and she was able to talk to us about what in their view can be both misrepresentation and fraudulent, also linking it to the fact that they have these endless delays from the CHE. And then SACWA was able so you would have received the documents of what we did at the meeting yesterday. So Honourable Members, I then want to put to you that having asked you that question, that will enable us then to to look at the various clauses in the amendment bill and then start expressing our view as we go along. I'm mindful of the fact that we only have from 10 o'clock till 12:30, and I'm mindful of the fact that we might not be able to finish everything here today. If we can, I would be obviously very happy, but I'm mindful of the fact that our time is extremely limited. So, honourable members, that's the procedure that I'm asking us to get into, is to deal then with the different clauses of the bill and express ourselves thereof. The silence means consent. If that's the case, then, honourable members, I will remind you, I see that they handed out another bill for you. So I think we've got lots of copies now of the amendment bill. But I will remind you also that the content advisor did put something together for us also to list everything for us and, you know, the comments. And then again, the department also list. What I want to work from is the one that is a little bit more detailed is the department one that puts us through the different clauses and then tells us also about their responses to the different institutions that have made amendments. So may I start with the clause that deals with I'm going to start with clause one. We will come back to the long title again. The long title is something that we can still deal with. So the first one I'm starting on, honourable members, amendment of Section 1 of Act 67 of 2008 as amended by Section 8 of Act 26 of 2010. It starts off on line 15, number 1, the section of the National Qualifications Framework Act 2008, Act number 67 of 2008, in also referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended A by the insertion before the definition of board of the following definition, and it starts off with authenticity. As I said earlier on, there were submissions that were made on it. There were responses also that we received in that regard. If you would permit, honourable members, the department is here if you want to ask further clarification. The Parliament legal person is here. The state law advisor is here. Again, if there are anything that you further want to put to them. Enough from my side. Honourable Bazzoli?
Are we coming from this? Well, as Mampopo demonstrated, three stakeholders do not like the definition of authenticity. That's separate, so IGINRIE and also UNEP. All of them say it's not explicit and it creates confusion. And USAC gave an interesting sentence here, a suggestion here, where they said, actually, there's several things that aren't even defined, all of which would fall under authentic. Bogus qualifications, in other words, qualifications that actually don't exist, stolen by, you know, dishonest people. Fake or falsified certificates, non-accredited institutions awarding qualifications obtained dishonestly, individuals who hold out they have qualifications which they don't, fake or falsified certificates, individuals who hold out they have a professional designation but they don't, and institutions or organizations and individuals that sell bogus qualifications. So that seems to give you a watchful thing that you have to cover. Now, my question is, does this definition of authenticity cover all those possibilities of inauthenticity? And I'm not sure what all these objections were about, but it seems that they may have been about that. That it's unclear what inauthentic would be. And the question is, do we not need to expand this clause in order to cater for all possible types of inauthenticity?
Anyone else on this clause? Honourable Killian?
Yes, I don't know if you have wanted the department to first reply to the question both by Honourable Killian, but I think from where I sit, I think if we strive to review a proper a sort of phrasing of the definition, we must make sure that we don't complicate matters. Because the different stakeholders who commented obviously were looking at it from their specific perspective. You know, I think it was Uma Lucy and it could possibly have been Yusuf who referred to the holder of the certificate, etc. But the issue at stake is what is authentic, what is authenticity as far as qualifications are concerned. So my argument would be, first of all, I think if we look at the department's comments on the recommendation by SAPQA of including the word national, inserting the word national, I think they referred to the fact that it's not necessary because it's already part of legislation. But if we look at, I see they have agreed to look at the reference to claims by an individual. But quite frankly, if the department would respond to that, I feel that we should rather keep it as uncomplicated as possible. Whether it is a document issued by an education provider or an institution, or a person presenting it, it is the document that must be authentic. The qualification must be authentic. So my feeling would be that we look at the suggested amendments by the department, but I would not request that we include the reference to claims by an individual, etc. So if we look at the department's replies on the bottom of page 1, I would suggest that we look at the reformulation that excludes reference to awarded to a claimant, etc., because that's unnecessarily complicated definition. What is it? You want to, in the definition, specify what is authentic and what is misrepresented when we get to that one. So I would like to suggest, Chair, if we could ask the department to briefly just respond that we don't complicate matters and in the process perhaps can I say close in on the definition. Thank you.
Any other member? Mr. Fossil?
Feel
free to come in.
To respond to the question, it is a issue that we've made a comment, and it was influenced by a proposal. It was influenced by the comments made by USOF to deal and put a focus on the claimant. But we've had further discussions within the department and also the ministries, and it is our view that the focus or that the whole definition must be as simplistic as possible. It must focus on the face value of the instrument, which is the qualification, smart qualification, and therefore it is irrelevant if there is a claimant who is presenting it. The fact that there is a document which got a face value that is misrepresented or who is not authentic and therefore affect misrepresented or fraudulent qualifications, that is the principle that needs to be addressed, and we support the view that the focus is skewed by the proposal we've made, and we are requesting the committee to rather consider the definition on the basis of the principle, and that is we talk about the authenticity of that piece of paper, and that whoever is presenting it, because it might be the holder, it might be someone other than the holder, and so the claimant or any other person is irrelevant. What is important is that document must be authentic, and the authentic is determined on objective values rather than who is in possession of it. And therefore, we are of the view that although we've made a proposal to include claimant and awarded to the claimant, the issue is on that proposal, we are not supporting it anymore. We are asking the committee to rather consider it on the basis as it was originally.
Been answered?
I think my view, Chair, is that I think many of the issues are raised by the other institutions probably are covered in the definition of misrepresentation and also fraudulent, because they are not looking at the document. I think the definitions there now, we've got three objective grounds which would cover many of the things that are raised by these other submitters, that it must be registered with the NGF. We know that not all of them have been registered. There's a process to do that. So the first thing is to check whether it is registered. It says tick that it is a valid document. Was it offered by any registered institution? And lastly, was it obtained legally? Which then the legal even talks to whether it was obtained by means of fraud and other things. So you have three objective grounds that you have to determine whether a document in front of you or in front of a person is a valid document. So those grounds, then there are other protections that you might have to check. Whether then, which is other misrepresentation and also fraudulent, that protects the whole document. So for me, as the definition is there, I mean, it is very objective. It does not look at the person, it looks at the document in front of the person examining.
You wanted to respond again, Honorable Bezonis?
I mean, it all then hinges on how well the other ones are defined, misrepresentation,
okay.
Which we could look at when we come to that.
All right, so what we're saying on this one, Honourable Killian?
Yes, I just wanted to make sure, Chairperson, we are broadly, I just wanted to know when we go through the clause word by word, that we are just all on the same page, because there's also the issue of Roman 3, and that is legally obtained, and I think the department made an earlier recommendation that it must become lawfully obtained.
Yeah.
Okay, am I running ahead?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I know. I get the impression we I'm back to authenticity. We heard what the Parliament Legal Advisor said. We hear the response from the department. What I will ask the department to do is, because we're sitting with papers here, you now say, this is your view, I'm not going to repeat the sentence. Can you give that one on a clean page for us? This is where you are at, so that we then not look at these lots here before me. And you say you have changed your view also from what you have given to us that other time. You say you align yourself with what SAQWA is saying. So I think it will just help, because when we have to really fine-tune the bill, we look at the particular, it will be wording time that we need to do. So if I can ask if you can...
Chair, we will definitely do. Can I just raise another issue? We will also, in terms of the institutions, at the moment the definition is only addressing, and I just pick it up now, it's amazing how you read it and you don't always pick it up. We talk about a registrant offered by a registered and accredited
just
education.
Just tell us where you are.
That is in the definition under Roman 2.
And
all your public institutions, they are not registered. They are established or merged or declared. So we will also add that to the wording, Chair, so that it is not only dealing with the reference to register, but also the other institution part.
So on Roman,
yeah. But we will redraft it with those issues included. Yeah.
Chair, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Will that cover an entity that in itself does not offer any courses, but facilitate through another institution? For instance, if there is some other institute somewhere that is established, will that cover those institutions as well, that they have to only work with accredited, registered, whatever institutions? When you look at the rewording, please can we also make sure that, I just want to mention one. An entity is currently being created in the telecommunications department that will be offering ICT skills. But it will not offer the skills itself. It will work through other institutions. Now, how do we compel that new entity to also work within the law and make sure that if they approach an entity to offer a course, that entity is registered? Is offended.
I would suggest the complication about whatever telecommunication is doing, as the example, is best left for us to look properly at that part, but deal with the question of, and I know the member made, by way of giving an example, she illustrated her question.
But there are other such entities as well, Chair. I'm just saying, there are such entities existing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
leave it to that.
Okay.
The telecommunication one, we're not familiar with Do you want to answer, and then is it on the same one, Honourable Kekana? Is it the same point?
Yes, that's the reason.
All right, okay. Calm down, darling. No, there's no, just speak.
Oh.
Voice.
Chair, I mean, my experience is that when people just out there in the society, when you're trained and you want your whatever knowledge you are disseminating to have recognition, people all the time ask, how can I do accreditation? Which institution, existing institutions, are recognized? Obviously, if you're going to do training through, like Julie's saying, they are doing it through other institutions. That way, through other institutions means you select the institution that you think and you know. Even employers recognize it. If you're going to choose something that is not known by anybody, that is where problems are going to start with the authenticity of your qualification. So people take the trouble of making sure that when they do extra courses, when they do extra certification outside, they do it through institutions that are already respected and known and have a reputation in the country.
I'm
just saying that is what
okay.
I've experienced.
Ideal world. I say that is an ideal world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there are charlatans out there.
Absolutely. So the legality of who the institution is, I mean, you can't. That's your premise. That's your premise from where you start. But
I think just on principle, the issue here is if they that institute or whatever the entity is working in collaboration with a registered or a public educational institution, then the certification, if it is higher education, it will be in terms of the Higher Education Act, and that will be the education institution that's dealing with the certification. If it is an occupational, the certification is done by QCTO. For skills qualification, based on occupational qualification. If it is a Maluti qualification, it is the department that is doing the certification. So the authentication issue is linked to the offering, and the offering is done by institutions that is linked to the those frameworks. That I've identified as education institutions and skills development providers that comply with that legislation. And therefore, if that institute is working in collaboration with those institutions, it will be the institutions who will provide the qualification. In the example use, the universities, for instance. If it is an occupational qualification, then it will be the QCTO who will deal with the certification, and therefore the institute will not be reflected.
You had your hand up?
Yeah. On clause B, not sure if it's part B or just 1A, in foreign qualifications. I had, just to give an example again, but it could represent a little bit.
Can I ask you just to hold, because I'm going to move away from the other two, and I wanted to check, was there anything from the state law advisor on the two that you wanted to point out for us, because then we happily can go to Roman 3 and B. No. The Roman 3 and then Honourable Bazzoli on B.
Okay. So the query I I had was from an institution.
Roman 3.
Sorry.
It's before B.
Okay. Roman 3, Chair. I was also ahead of my time as well. I just wanted to say that we have at present under Roman 3 legally obtained, but it is suggested by the department that we move from legally obtained to lawfully obtained. And if we look at the definition of the two words, I think I would support the lawfully obtained as compared to the legally obtained. So I just wanted to make sure that we are at idem on lawfully obtained as well. Thank you, Chair.
Any takers on the legally, lawfully, legally? You look very worried, man.
Lawfully, I mean, if you read in Mystic Detective Qualification, and lawfully would tie in more with Mystic Detective Qualification. But legally, lawfully, same thing.
Not quite.
Not quite.
Not quite. Not quite. Okay, let's flag that one. Let's flag that one. But we hear what you say, and we move on that. We move on that basis. If there's ambiguity, we will. You will point out the. You want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think authenticity is very much linked to the outcome, and therefore, if it is. The institution, and if it is lawful obtained, then it is compliant to all the prescriptions of the law. Legally might have a slightly different interpretation, and we are of the view that there is a difference in the context.
Yeah. Whilst they asking that Comrade Google to help him. let's go to B, Honourable. Any takers further on Roman? No. B?
Are you sure? Okay, the provider that I was approached by wanted to teach a skills course using a syllabus drafted in England by one of the top skills providers there, because they believe they had a much better syllabus than the local CVET colleges, which is true. And apparently they were given all sorts of trouble by SACWA, because SACWA then said, well, it wanted to accredit this institution in England. And the institution in England said, come on, guys, you know, we are one of the most best established institutions in skills. Therefore, a person who did that course would not be counted as authentic, because this thing here says a foreign qualification is a qualification obtained from a foreign country and evaluated by a SACWA. So I just wondered, does that mean it just has to be looked at by SACWA, or does that mean it has to be actually read it with that? What that word evaluate?
We're coming to evaluate.
Coming
to the word evaluate also, but let's deal with the first part of a query, and you might be a little bit further when we get to C, which deals with evaluation also.
Chair, maybe I can start off, and my colleagues can also assist. Here the issue is that in the current legislation, if you offer a qualification in South Africa, then it is accredited by SACWA as a qualification and the quality councils and recommended to SACWA. If the qualification is offered outside the country, then it is evaluated as a equivalent to a qualification in South Africa. The difficulty is more not on if it is accredited or evaluated, because we've are actually looking where is the actually offering taking place. So if it is a domestic institution who is taking a qualification or a program with the content from another institution in England, for you, as the example is on the table, then it is important that it must be evaluated to comply with the standards and requirements of qualifications at that level on the NQF within that sub-framework to the South African standards and requirements. If that's the case, then it is offered by the one in South Africa using whatever being accredited to that institution for that qualification. So it is in principle no problem for them to present it for accreditation. It's been accredited as a qualification and it's offered in South Africa. If it is offered by the foreign institution where it is certified by the foreign institution, which also get the so-called online qualifications, which is very difficult to deal with, where is the actual offering taking place? Because they are saying, I'm sitting in England, it's on the internet, you are dealing with it, you are responding, I'm evaluated in England, I'm offering it in England. And if that qualification is then obtained in England, it is a foreign qualification, and the current legislation says foreign qualifications will be evaluated against South Africa to determine where it will. It's not that it is a qualification, but where it will slot in on our qualification framework as a qualification for recognition.
Anything to add?
Please, Percy. I was just saying also, in terms of when you look at the definition of authenticity, it goes to B. Because in authenticity, it also deals with foreign qualifications. So when you look at, but when you go to evaluation, when you evaluate, you must pass the test of authenticity, which is covered by the definition of authenticity under B.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And evaluate to be read in conjunction.
Together.
Chief, I
note you on Hokikana, but.
We dealt recently with a case of City and Guilds, for example, and I'll explain the difference that happened with the City and Guilds very, very quickly.
She wrote to you.
No, City and Guilds. We've dealt with it for a long time. So what you have had was City and Guilds was offering, had qualifications that were offered through South African institutions and the QCTO, the Quality Council for them. The originator of the qualification was City and Guilds. That was perfectly legal within the NQF Act. But what they then did as well, the UK-based equivalent of SACWA was accrediting the South African office of City and Guilds to be a fourth quality council. And they were functioning as a quality council in South Africa and themselves accrediting providers in South Africa to deliver City and Guilds qualifications. And it's what we call that fourth stream that we said didn't fit the Act, and what we requested them to do then was to design qualifications in conjunction with a QCTO new one that would then have comparability both in South Africa, and that learner could take that certificate should they want to study overseas, and it would have comparability. And that was the agreement we came, it was just in that last sort of what we called the fourth stream, where there was the NQF Act doesn't make room for a foreign country to accredit somebody to act as a quality council in South Africa. And I think that was where the confusion arose. So what we suggested to those students who had studied was just to go through the SACWA's Foreign Qualification Evaluation Directorate and submit it and get the equivalent certificate as an interim measure until the new quals had been. They were not very happy with that response at all. But that was within the legal framework currently the best that could be done around the authenticity. But we had no doubt the authenticity of the qualification in the UK is very good. It's offered all over the world. But the evaluation in South Africa had to go through certain things. So it was a case that had sort of, it was okay, but it wasn't okay at the end of the day. They were not happy when they had that decision.
Yeah. Honorable Kikana?
Yeah, Chairman, I just wanted to make sure that we cover that part that the evaluation is done here, because my own understanding, find a place like UK, you'd imagine, is advanced, developed, they are old industries, they've done this a long time ago, and they've got a lot of rich experience. But the point is, I don't think all qualifications in Britain are the same. There might be some, especially where you allow private sector to open institutions also. I mean, I'm just saying we shouldn't take for granted that if you just say England, we have a certain, it should be good. Because especially with universities also in America, this thing of autonomy, people, even religious people, just open up universities. So I'm saying it is important that we ultimately evaluate and satisfy ourselves that it meets our standards.
All right. I would imagine, honorable members, it's the same example that we had on our little Moscow trip, where the students came from where? China? And they then, whatever the reasons are in their field, they then decide that the practicals are not gonna, can't be done or are not being done in China, and it will be best for them to go to where they can actually physically work with a body as a medical student, and then ventured off to Moscow. And then Moscow said, no, you have to start at this level, because this is, would it be the same thing that you are explaining? Which then seems like worldwide, then these are the different things that different countries apply. Any of you, can we move off this point? Was it on this show? On the,
all I'm going to say is, I think the example that Dr. Lloyd gave is actually quite astounding, that some institutions can just assume that they are of a quality beyond reproach, that we can't have, that we actually have an audacity to rank them or to place them on our NQF. So I think, I understand that they would probably not have been very satisfied, but I think every country has a right to look after the qualifications framework that they have developed and make sure that people don't subscribe to training sort of curricula and course that in the end will not lead to the right NQF level. So I think it's good that they have the certainty that we protect them from such practice. And if this is good enough, and if the law that we are going to pass will be good enough to ensure that they are protected, I think we owe it to the people, because many people are lured by names, you know, Canada, Britain, USA, blah, blah, blah. And then it's not always what it is purported to be. So, Chair, thank you for that clarification. And
before we step off that one, do you still stand by your individual proposal that you are making in B? I fail to understand.
No, Chair, I think it's important that you raise this. The aspect of the, as I've already indicated earlier on, when you were dealing with authenticity, the issue is linked to the qualification, no matter who claims it or who's the holder of it, it is the qualification that must comply with the standard. And although we propose that based on the comments that we've considered made by Yusuf, after discussion that we've had in the department, we of the opinion that we will request the committee not to consider that proposal by the individual or lawfully obtained by the claimant, in sub 3 and B by the individual, where it is coming in, because the issue, as I've indicated, is that the standard is applicable to the qualification itself and not what is the perception or the understanding by the individual. We are dealing here with misrepresented qualifications and fraudulent qualifications, which is not compliant to standards that is set by a system called the NQF, and therefore it must be evaluated against that system. And if I'm just in possession of a certificate of someone else and claim that it is a proper certificate because it was my father's certificate, that should not be the issue. That is not the driving principle. The principle is what is the value of that document. And therefore, we are going not to consider our proposal on that aspect.
Meaning we leave the clause as is. All right. I'm moving along because you have started the discussion on evaluate already.
Just the one aspect that I've already indicated, we will redraft the wording to include also your public institution. So that I just want to make sure that it is understood by the committee that that is accepted. Because as it is, it is only, the definition is only dealing with your registered institution and not your public institutions. So we will add established, declared, or merged institutions. And
I
department as a body that is providing certification. And we will provide the wording in that regard.
Yes, I have jumped one, but let's complete this one. I've jumped
I just wanted to say that we must still work with B.
Let's complete, evaluate, we're going to be there already.
Mm-hmm. Do you want
I'll go back.
You will go back.
Okay. Okay, I take it we will take into consideration what the department is, we hear what the department is saying. I'm going back to B. One, by the insertion after the definition of board in the following definition, constitution means the constitution of the republic. After that.
Yes, I take it as is.
The suggestion is take it as is. Well, of course, I mean, you can't say something different to the Constitution. You can't say something different to the Act that is there. It is just restating it. Yeah, that's probably the reason why I jumped it over. I am now still on clause 1, honourable members, and I'm now, yes, on page 3 of the board. I don't see any takers on evaluate, no? Yeah?
I think a valuable comment was made that the word ranking has a different meaning and it should rather be location or whatever on the NQF, but the department has come up with a suggestion that we use the word placement on the qualification framework, and I think it makes good sense. It is very clear what it means, so that when it is evaluated, it must be placed somewhere and in accordance with our different levels on the NQF, and therefore I would like to recommend that we adopt the department's reference to the word, rather work with, when we speak of evaluation, we speak of, instead of ranking, we speak of placement.
in line 5 on page 3, the submissions that were made about the word ranking, that ranking really refers to policemen and to army people and all of that. And for ease of better English language, placement could be, can be considered. Any hands on that? No? Okay. Placement. Now come to the bigger discussion, still on one C.
Foreign institutions.
Yes, foreign institutions. Honorable Pasoli.
Well, just following Sackler's point, that there is no such definition in the Higher Education Act and the Continuing Education and Training Act. There's only a definition of the Further Education and Training Colleges Act. So just would have to say, as defined in the Higher Education Act and the Further Education
Further Education and Training Colleges
Act. Is
that
correct?
Yeah.
I'm just following
what
that
maybe
yeah.
Found something
new.
Chair,
the Further Education and Training Colleges Act has been amended and the Act's name has been changed. Although the Act is still Act 16 of 2006, but it is now known as the Continuing Education and Training Act, and therefore it is correctly reflected in the book.
Okay, so that's correct.
Yes, people propose that we retain on page 3, line 5-7. Retain the definition as stated here. Foreign institution means a foreign juristic person as defined in the Higher Education Act and the Continuing Education and Training Act.
I think that's what was said earlier on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else in that section? Golden qualification or post qualification includes a degree, diploma, certificate, and so on and so on. There were submissions that we received on that. I think many of them. Sakwa said something, the department also respond to it. Honourable members, your view?
To this specific definition, we want to refer to a fraudulent qualification or past qualification. Now, if we use the word include, that does not mean it includes.
includes that, but it's not limited to that. So is it necessary to insert, but not limited to it? Because if you read it as it is, fraudulent qualification or false qualification includes a degree, diploma, or certificate that is forged, fraudulently obtained, or awarded in contravention of this Act. And there's a suggestion that we change, and I would like to support that, confirmed as such by a court of law, instead of declared as such, confirmed by, you know. So in other words, there's a prima facie case that it's fraudulently obtained, and then the court confirms it. But I would like to know that suggested insertion, is that necessary and is it advisable, and if not, how can we address this issue if the department could assist us?
But not limited to,
isn't it wide?
The include this petition, but not limited to, opens it up much further.
But what about the question that I've been asked? The list is too narrow and excludes other types of awards that confirm the completion of the learning program.
But then would it not be covered by include a degree?
The department must answer us on that.
It was also our view that it is all inclusive. That what we picked up in the presentation, there are also the so-called historical qualifications that's listed and which do not have the terminology used, that the degree, diploma, or certificate, it's awards. There's so many other type of unit standards, that type of terminology that's used, and which is now reflected on that certificate. And that's why, but not limited to, is in order to open up the possibility of a qualification that is identified and recognized within the system. And that is why we've thought in the context it is important that one just open it slightly wider than just the three that's listed as degree, diploma, and certificate.
My contention is it will invite all sorts of whoever. If you just say, but not limited to. And my argument further is that all the councils keep on telling us how they are legally being challenged. Look at this huge legal bill all the time. So I'm worried, are we not inviting anyone else? But not limited to us also. But why don't we give recognition to what you are pointing out?
If I can just add to that one, it's because it's a very important issue you raise. The aspect that the bill is addressing is that it must be an outcome of fraud, which is dealt with by a court of law. Now, a court of law, in this case, we are talking about the criminal court system, and the criminal court system has no cost implication to SAQA for any of the. It's an outcome that's driven by by Department of Justice within their budget, and therefore it is a misrepresented qualification up until a court of law pronounced on that. And it is also linked to a very specialized crime. And you've got a SIU and the walks and that specialized unit who is actually dealing with this type of operations and taking it to the criminal court system. So, Chair, in that...
Very optimistic.
Well, there is a possibility of private prosecution as well, but it's still going through the the criminal court system.
Yeah.
And the issue is the cost to the litigation bills of the quality council at SACWA, and our interpretation of understanding of the cost implication is that it will not have effect, because the issue is it can only be fraudulent once the court has pronounced on it, and therefore it is not a cost driver to their budget.
Both of them had their hands up.
On the submission for the proposal portion, on the second one.
I'm not a professor.
On the issue that you raised, that we want to extend the notability to a degree diploma or certificate. And all my understanding is that all these things are qualifications. Someone who is presenting some document, whether it's historical or not, to someone and saying, here's my document. And I'm saying, do we need to what I was thinking, instead of having this included and but not limited to, you take out that and say it's a qualification that is forged, na. So it covers whatever the document the person is representing in front of. So therefore, you don't have to use the words included but not limited to. So you're just saying it's a qualification that is forged, na. So you take out, so you know whatever person represents the document, if he says this is my qualification, then you test it against those other principles. That would be my suggestion.
Madam?
Yes, because if you have include and not limited to, there are many, my understanding, there are many other things, and the purpose of the definition is, if you just go back to the basics, is when you read the definition, you must know exactly what is encompassed in that now. You said, but not limited to what, we won't know. And then it's up to a court to interpret it.
Yeah.
So I think
we
should try and be a bit more concise.
Okay.
Kilian? Yeah. So in other words, what we're saying is fraudulent qualification or false qualification is a forged, fraudulently obtained or awarded in terms in conservation of this is a document which is forged, fraudulently obtained or awarded in observation of this act and has been certified as such by a court of law. So would that, because I concur, I really feel that we shouldn't just go and expand more on the definition. We should make it simple for everybody to understand if there's, fraudulent conduct, then it would fall in this category. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Chair, the question of what's known as a degree looks more somewhere between fraudulent and misrepresented, because what you have there is that you have somebody who has obtained a qualification from a place that doesn't actually teach you anything.
Yeah.
But you just pay them R1,000 and they give you a degree. Or they pretend to teach you for 3 weeks or something and give you a master's degree. Those are degree mills. Now, they're neither fraudulent nor misrepresented. Do they not need their own degree? Because you're not saying that the person has not got this qualification. And you're not saying that they're misrepresented. You're saying it's not a qualification.
Yes, you would go back to.
Do we not need to include under fraudulent something that cases for or qualification offered by not a genuine qualification? And maybe
no, I hear what you're saying, and I'm thinking
the word authentic.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. You've got to go back to. Got to
because an inauthentic qualification can be fraud.
Yeah. So I wanted to, I mean, I hear the suggestions that you are making. I hear. And you might want to answer advocate, but I thought that in their sincereness of what they raised, those that made the submission, they pointed out, I go back to the words again, the list is too narrow, they say, and excludes other types of awards that confirm the completion of the learning program. I'm not going to read all of that. Now, in our simplicity, when I take these words, I want us, whatever it is that we are doing, I want us to confirm to the, not putting anything in there that would be open-ended and lend itself to much further interpretation. So if you can, in your answer.
Yeah, Chair, I think the issue of when we are dealing with milling of qualifications, the aspect of the status of that qualification, we're still learning that is taking place, but it is not compliant with the standards, and that's why it is important that one must deal with the two possibilities. The misrepresented one is short of having a criminal intent, and when you deal with fraud, it is the criminal intent that is actually causing it, because you want to deceive someone deliberately that this is a qualification at a specific level where you've actually bought it from the boot of a car where it was for a fraud and another certificate has been used and your name has just been filled into it without complying to it. But that is the outcome that is linked to a court process. When we are dealing with the later on the definition of misrepresented, I think that is where the issue is coming in. And what we've the aspect of authenticity is an aspect which is very important. If we look at the definitions again, and the department has discussions on this matter, as I've indicated earlier on, with the ministry as senior officials, and we've been requested by the ministry to ask the committee rather to consider the definition of misrepresented qualification or part qualification as proposed by SAQWA, which is much more simpler and which deals with this issue of authenticity as one of the driving principles. And that definition reads qualification or part qualification has been misrepresented if it is not authentic, and that is dealing with the standards, or the certificate is awarded or the SAQWA certificate of evaluation was erroneously issued or altered in any way. So it is then providing the issue on the two principles of authentication and erroneous, in other words, not complying with the standards, and the two might even be linked. The question you can say, isn't it and? Now, in and the state law advisors and can also come in here, but all also include and. So it is providing, in terms of the interpretation, it might be that one can look at the word in and, but in our view, all is also included of and it might be covered there. But the issue of authentication is very important, and it is important that we look at that definition of misrepresented again, and we request the committee to consider that one of SAQWA
as maybe a better option.
Okay, Leon?
Just come back to Honourable Pizzoli's comment about qualification. Are we not covered in the Primary Act, where it is the qualification is described and defined as means a registered national qualification?
Point out.
It is in the Primary Act, Chair. It is part of the definition, clause 1. It's basically on the second page of the Primary Act. Remember, we are changing some of the definitions. We're not changing all of them. But qualification is defined in the Primary Act. So I think we covered. As far as the other issue is concerned, Chair, you raised the concern with regard to, do we cover the other interim awards or whatever you want, the learning programs, etc. I would argue, Chair, yes, we do, if you just go with fraudulent qualification or false qualification. Because an award of a learning program could also be described as a part qualification. So if we extend and go beyond that and we start listing, then you get to the issue of if you miss one step in the process, then you are in real trouble. So I would like to suggest that we concur with the state law advisor's suggestion, together with the legal advisor's parliament, that we actually reconsider the wording and have fraudulent qualification or part qualification. Can we say refers to a fraudulently obtained or awarded or qualification obtained? The formulation must be done. I'm not going to sit here and give the exact wording, but that we in principle agree that we reduce it, because my argument, as I said, Chair, is that award where SAQA comes from is covered adequately, and I don't think we should go beyond that.
Honourable Pizzoli.
Chair, I just want to take on his suggestion that when you go to a degree mill and you get one of these 500-grad degrees, you don't have criminal intent, because I believe many people do, and that there should be some provision under fraudulent for people who buy these degrees knowing perfectly well it's going to give them a master's degree in order to help them get a job.
Yeah.
If you only make the provider criminal, which I think is provided for later, then you are actually giving them air, because you're not stopping people from paying the 500 grand and getting the fake degree or the bogus degree. I still think we need to make sure that fraudulent includes inauthentic.
Ms. Yellett here? Is it?
Well, fraudulent qualification or part qualification is a qualification that is fraudulently obtained, inauthentic, or awarded in contravention of the fact.
Mm. The point that you want to make, Honourable Pizzoli, is you say that we must not look only at the one, the entity.
Right.
Company,
I mean, later we need to make sure that the
whatever
offering things are criminalized.
Are you?
But the I'm saying,
but you're saying that
you go to the
X person goes there.
Mm.
How do we cater for X person that go there, and that X person knows very well it's wrong to go and pay a 500 cent.
And it's not by court of law to have done so. I think that's the provision of the thing. So it's not as if you can just say they need to have been found to have had.
Okay. First to the members, and if there's an appetite for making sure that we cover fraudulent as wide as possible, then we will not sit and draft a sentence. We ask the let's obtain the principle first, because the Honourable Bolbran.
The authentication part of it, and criminalizing the institution that offers ourselves makes sense. But the person who comes in deliberately and buys, it also makes sense. But there's a thin line between that person who willingly goes there and people who are duped into getting there, who at the same time also pays without knowing that they would be paying for something that would not be authenticated later. And there's a thin line between those who deliberately go out and the general public who might not be knowing. And if we criminalize it across the board in as far as the recipients of such a system, then it becomes a problem. Although it's provided for, that the court must find that. But it will find that indeed the student went there, paid what it's supposed to be paying. And that makes that person part and parcel of the criminal. So I'm just jittery around the part that deals with the individuals. But the institutions who go out and create that platform, it makes sense to go there.
On that point, Killian, and then I'll come to yourself.
Yeah.
The department can tell us whether it's covered already.
Yeah. Can I just establish, because I must say I want to agree with Honourable Vizzoli, but on the other hand I'm considering does it not mean, if you say fraudulently obtained, does it not cover that sort of action? In other words, there must be intent shown before you can be declared a fraud by the court. If you can argue at the court level, sorry, but I went in there not knowing, then the court could say, "Oh, no, come on, please, you know, you've got a mistake. Sorry, this was deliberate, you know." But on the other hand, if it was as innocent as we want to believe, then the court would say this person was duped into this. So I was just asking, and I would like to hear what the state law advisor is saying. Is it not perhaps fraudulently obtained? Does that not insinuate that sort of conduct?
Mr. Hudo, and then let me add by saying it is a known fact in South Africa. Okay, I will skip the pre-primary. It's a known fact in South Africa that you attend from grade what to grade what, and you are then receive a matric certificate.
Mm-hmm.
It is a known fact that if you want to further, these are the options that you have, and you then obtain through that what. It is a known fact that might be lesser known that if you have a training intern, whatever you want to call it, via the CETAS, then you obtain whatever. Not widespread, I must admit, because it's not something that people immediately put onto their list. And so I can continue with all the other names that I'm not saying. The best knowns are the matric people, the best knowns are university colleges, everyone, and all the other little ones, not sort of immediately. So I argue the thing of, you know, in South Africa, these are the paths that you have to travel when you need to obtain something. Now, at which point don't you know? and then you say, right, I'm prepared to pay the 80 rand. If you can help in your answer.
It's a discussion we're having with my colleague, trying to put it this way, that someone buying a master's degree at the corner of someone buying a master's degree on the corner of other streets, and then taking that same master's degree and representing it to an employer institution to do a doctor's or health for work, basically, is committing some crime.
Mm.
That's the point, and I think it is covered in the head. And I think what the distinction the department wants to make is someone who goes and attends a course at an institution, a university, or whatever you call it, attends that for 6 months and is given a master's degree. That's a distinction that the distinction between fraud and misrepresentation that the document by the question is that at least that person did not intentionally want to defraud anyone. That person went and attended a course. And that course lied to her or him and say that you will now get a master's degree, but generally a master's degree you must attend this for a year or 2 years. But this person is 6 months and is given a case. That's a distinction that they want to make. And I think the definition as it is stated that covers, I think, comes back to I'm showing that I was in local capital. it is covered that you probably obtained because you went and bought it and now you are representing it. If I go buy it at the corner of Middle Street and I hang it in my house, I'm not committed any crime person because it's sitting there in my house and I'm not misleading anyone. Sitting in my house, people come. It's for me privately, so I'm not. That's my take. But it's only the act of you now representing it to someone and saying that I now have a master's degree in law or whatever. So I think the definition probably obtained, I think, as one of the Colleen puts it, kind of covers the concept is raising around people who went and go back to the internet. So
I'm looking at the definition and fraudulently obtained. You can't commit fraud by mistake or you need intention to commit fraud. So you actually go out there and you buy or you type something out on your computer. You need the actual intention. And then also the thing with the definition is that, I mean, it's a document that is fraud is obtained. And then the second part is that it has been declared or confirmed by a court of law. So there's two requirements to the definition. It must be forged, and then it needs to be confirmed or declared by a court of law as such. But the main thing with fraud is that you can't do it by accident or be a victim or... You need
anything. I didn't know. Mr. Bosov?
How do we start the degree now?
That's
exactly.
We haven't covered
it. The issue of the degree now is a very difficult one because there's no clear understanding of what is the extent of this. We've had the example of the person who applied for a VC's post who obtained a doctorate degree in the Bahamas. It's academic in a well-known public university. He applied and they then referred to SAQA for evaluation and SAQA indicated that it is at best a master's because it was not that it is the example that we are using of getting a doctorate within 3 weeks. It is just that it falls short of the standard that is applicable. Because many people are trying to take a shortcut, which they think is legal, but it is not compliant to the requirements for that qualification. And I think that is what one must also consider
because in terms of the only understanding of a qualification mill is if whenever you can provide it in a shorter or a marketing it more attractive than the normal route, it is labeled in the ordinary sense as a qualification mill. But it is, there's no harder definition to that, and the extent of it is not clear. So the approach that we've done is not to try and label it as by using that type of wording, because the moment you are putting that word, you must give a definition, and you must also have the a clear content to it. We've rather dealt with it on the principle of fraudulent qualification with the fraudulent intent, as my colleagues from the Sailor Advisor and from Parliament already explained. That is a specific intent. It is linked to a specific outcome that you try to deceive someone else. It is not that innocent person who was trying to take a shortcut but thought it is legal, and on face value and on the outcome, it is he never tried to deceive. He want to comply with what is the minimum that is needed for that qualification. In our view, the aspect of qualification mode is underlined or addressed in these two types of measures. If the qualification is a fraudulent scheme where it is selling it off on the corner of the street, as was referred to, clearly that will be covered. If it is a one that is a shortcut and where it is not a crime, it will have no value because it is now reflected in a register that that is a misrepresented qualification, and it is it actually stopped that practice without calling it a qualification mill. If we take the word qualification mill, then we must provide a definition for it, and we couldn't find a proper definition which is all inclusive, because there's so many varieties and possibilities when it comes to this popular word qualification mill. In essence, it is if you are not complying to a standard and you are making money out of it. Now, all qualifications is one of the biggest money making businesses. I don't want to call it a scheme because it's businesses. Because
yeah.
It is everyone wants a qualification, and you will pay huge amount of money in order to get a qualification. And there are always differences in what is offered by different institutions. The focus is, are you compliant with the minimum standards that is applicable to that specific qualification? And that is the function of SACWA. And this bill is trying to address that principle. They say, comply with the qualification standard, and then it's fine. If you fail, and might be with the best of intentions, then it's misrepresented, and then you need to address that, but you won't get the benefit out of it, because that is what the impact of the misrepresented register will be. If it is a fraudulent intent, that is criminal, go to the criminal court, you get a criminal record, and that is also reflected so that it is taken out of circulation.
Bazzoli and Killian?
You know, I really disagree with you that fraudulently obtained covers the degree of. Because what happens is there's something in between the two exams. There's the one lot who says, come and study for 6 months and you'll get a degree. There's the other lot who says, buy on the street corner. I wouldn't like to say Joris and Street, it's too near this. It's a mystery.
exactly where I'm saying, Jonathan.
Yeah. So there's something in between. There's something like the Free United University of
Bahamas or
Washington. Okay, and then you go to them, and then they sort of pretend you're doing a master's degree, but you're not really doing. You don't even do 6 months. Write them three times or something. And then you get this big, huge, fancy certificate, all written in gold. You haven't bought it on the street corner. You've actually obtained it according to the rules of that institution. But it is actually a con job. You are being conned, and you are also, I would argue, in some cases, deliberately doing it to con your employer. And I think that that is not fraudulently obtained, because you obtained it in a straightforward manner. You went to the Bob Jones University and you got this degree. That's not fraudulently obtained. But the degree is fraudulent. The degree is inauthentic. So I'm saying inauthentic, just put the word inauthentic. That's all I'm saying, one little word. And it covers, you don't need the word degree mill or anything, it just covers all the things that are not authentic that you are deliberately engaging.
Could I just say, I would like to know if there is a problem to include inauthentic, if there would be a problem. And I would like to hear the legal argument for or against it. Secondly, I think because we're dealing with this scourge, are we adequately capturing the institution under offence, or the individuals who run these scams? My request would be, should we not perhaps, whilst we're busy doing the definition and seeing what else we need to do to tighten it up, if we have the right definition at the intro, can we not bring in offences and penalties in section 32B to cover that? Because that is a fraud scheme. And I'm not 100% convinced that we have adequately covered that in 32B. So just comment on that. So first of all, on the why not include inauthentic, and be a possible penalty clause so that it's easier to catch these people and lock them up if we still have space in jail. Yes.
If I could respond around, I think inauthentic is a very useful word, because currently, authenticity and the way we look at credibility and authenticity of an institution needs to comply with, it has to be accredited by either one of the QCs in South Africa or a relevant body in its country of origin. If it is a private provider, it needs to be registered with a state in South Africa,
yeah,
or in its country. But now we are seeing emerging, and I came out of a conference on Monday dealing with open learning, which makes the difficulty that the Honourable Member Bazzoli is talking about, that where we previously would have had a very clear definition of a degree mode, the massive open online courses being offered by Harvard, MIT, Stanford, etc., open learning processes, etc., are creating a difficulty in terms of buying it on the street corner, obviously, or completing a qualification by submitting it also has an impact in recognition of prior learning and credible assessment in an RPL process or credit accumulation. So I think I support the Honourable Kilian in terms of maybe a definition somewhere up front, and to maybe clarify, and obviously the legal people will have to help us there, so that we differentiate. That if you genuinely are an offerer, such as Harvard, just one education faculty that offers the MOOC courses, and people learn at their own time and pace and then submit and get their qualification, as opposed to a real degree MOOC that is not accredited and is not an authentic institution either in South Africa or country of origin. So maybe that wording could be looked at somewhere just to give a bit more comfort in the definition to pick up. So we don't penalize open learning as a way that people of who are to work and learn and the 21st century modes and of blended learning, etc. Mm-hmm. But yet we are protecting people from unscrupulous, fraudulent providers.
I want to suggest that we park this issue for the following reason. We hear you? We hear you? You know, whatever we say must have legal, must be some legal expression that we keep in whatever the intent is, what we want to have or say or do. It will mean that, you see, you all, that is where my park comes in. You will have to write something to satisfy ourselves. But in addition to that, this issue comes up later in the amendment bill also. And that's my other reason for saying park, to see whether further 32B and all of that, and then argue the thing together, and then see still. Because this is just definitions that we're talking about. And that would be my suggestion that we do that. Is that in order? Honorable Tuno?
Yeah, no, Chair. I want to agree with you because we're looking at the difference between inauthentic and expert. You know, you will come at a conclusion that it's similar. So maybe in that way that needs to be done also. You might also give us how does this really differ? Because in essence, they mean fake, they mean fraud. So it's around that if maybe we can shed more light and how do these things really differ so that we don't open as much as we want to tighten. Our tightening might also open our definitions also, you know, to
importance of definition. All right, if that's in order, I'm going to move us along. I expected this one to have a long discussion. We are still, where are we now?
We are.
No. I want to make sure that all the lines have been covered.
Cool.
Under C, have we covered all the lines there? Let me just see. This one, this representation.
Next one.
Provider, this is the bottom. we've dealt with declared law D. By the substitution for the definition of gazette. Gazette means the government gazette.
Great.
Does it? It does, okay. All right, the next big discussion again. E, misrepresentation qualification or part qualification includes. What do we have? Certainly we've had submissions that have been made in this regard. Any takers on this one? There were further suggestions also.
Chairperson, I like SACWA's recommendations.
and I was actually surprised that the department didn't like it. Because it is a simplification. What does it refer to? It refers essentially to erroneous. It's not intent to be fraudulent. For instance, I'm awarded my final degree, but then they discover at the university, oh, sorry, but they didn't mark one of my modules, and they come back to me and say, sorry, we couldn't award it to you. There was an administrative error. We lost your paper. It's not, you know, everything was fine, but so that is not fraudulent. That is really an error in the awarding of the qualification. Similarly, if there was an award or there was a SAQWA certification of evaluation that was done erroneously. So it is a mishap, it shouldn't have happened, etc., but it is administrative error. It's not intent to defraud. And therefore, if we look at the original as further elaborated by the department, if we look at the original act, and I refer now, introduction of the bill, Chairperson, on line 16, misrepresented qualification of part of the act includes a qualification that purports to be authentic, but etc., etc. It becomes a long list of but this and that and or this. So should we not then just go back to say, what is the essence of it? It is a qualification or a part qualification that is not authentic, or a certificate of award or the subsequent certification of evaluation that was erroneously issued or altered in any way. So now, from what I do understand, is there were some further discussions. The department also had some further meetings, etc. And please, they must just clarify to us why was the comment made that they did not support that. And yeah, could we please just find out? Because our intention again is the definition must be as clear and as concise as possible, so that we don't go into the details. Otherwise, you open up all sorts of. Yes, but this one is not listed. That one is not listed. Thank you.
Honourable Kikana.
Yes, and I can understand the word coverage which is explaining this, but isn't it that an error can be committed intentionally or unintentionally? So if it is intentional, one of the reasons might be because it is intended to fraud. If somebody there is naughty and wants to give certificates and you then say, no, this is because, and he exceeded that module so that he can use this module and say it was an error. I'm just saying, I don't know if you understand, but
yeah.
If something is erroneous, it can be intentionally done or unintentionally done. If it is unintentional, then it isn't fraud, it is a genuine mistake. But it can also be fraudulent reason, because you want to use that error as a reason why, as a reason to award a certificate. So I'll be happy if we did it, because I'm saying it didn't look for. That is why I was imagining a court of law when they argue, they start checking whether it was intentional or unintentional.
Yeah.
Sure, while I'm on the floor, can I ask why we don't have, are we not supposed to record this thing? the rights for recording for the purposes of legalizing it, our meeting. And have a record. And it makes it worse for ventilation also.
So,
it isn't part of the law and the you know, when lawyers go to court, if they can't tell you on a principle, then it will be a technicality.
Honourable Member, you have been watching Advocate Doberman too much. all right. The department says it's verbose. What is verbose? Not what. Why do you call it verbose? I would agree with Honourable Killian that you might have it wrong here. Dr. Lloyd?
It was referring to the definition of the misrepresentation, the one that we originally had.
Yes.
And that we've now agreed that's the SACWA definition. I think the exact reason being with a very lengthy definition that we initially had, it could be opening us up to additional things, and therefore the tighter and simpler and in plain language the definition would be. And I think that was our discussion with the ministry, that it needs to be clear, and also is everything covered in this definition that we would have wanted to say. And I think the wording used and the terms used would be adequate to reflect the meaning. But
so
Advocate Borsov would be probably fine.
Do you think it's
No, Chair. The issue here is if we look at the intention of misrepresented qualification, it is important that one must focus on the key principles, and the key principles remain the authentication or the authentic nature of that qualification, and that the other possibility is there's a mistake. And if you focus on those two principles and keep it simple, then you look at the current wording of it, we've clouded it with a lot of other aspects, which is bringing individual conduct and other conduct into play instead of dealing with the document that's on the table.
Yeah.
Is it compliant to the standards? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Is it dealt with by way of a human error? There's no one to be blamed, that it's just a human error. It happens. Then let's keep it to those principles, and that's why in hindsight we've considered that the approach that was provided by or the solution that was provided by SACWA in their definition seem to be more on target, and therefore we propose that the committee must consider it seriously.
Honourable Pizzoli, and then I'll come to your side.
Could you just read the SACWA definition again?
I can read it. It says a qualification or part qualification has been misrepresented if, Roman 1, it is not authentic, or, Roman 2, the certificate of award or the SACWA certificate of evaluation was erroneously issued or altered in any way.
Mr. Huda?
I think on the same line, Mr. Borsov is doing the discussion on the mischief that is fraudulent, which includes either intentional or unintentional misrepresentation of qualifications. That's the mischief that this bill wants to correct. And I think it goes into problem because we start considering other issues, whether you're innocent or you're not innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also saying, my colleague, that the distinction between between fraud and misrepresented is only directed actually to having the two registers. And I'm saying you might not even have to define fraudulent, Mr. Boshoff, and even misrepresentation. You will then say that a fraudulent and misrepresented qualification is a qualification that is not authentic because you already got your standard. That is what I was saying to my colleague. That's the same that we might have to meet when we're producing the document for the committee, but the discussion we might have to have that you don't even actually have to define fraudulent and misrepresentation because you already said anything that does not meet the standard of an authentic or of authenticity does not meet our ground. So you already have your standard, that is your standard. So you test the issues whether we are innocent or not innocent, how much is going to be defined, can be looked at by the court or not. Then we can still have the registers by saying there shall be a register, defining a register for misrepresented and fraudulent. So we do not get into this mire of trying to say what is misrepresented, whether you're innocent or not, whether it is intentional or not. And that's probably the discussion we must have as lawyers. That's to say, maybe, because now we started, the reason that we're looking at it now this way is that we have to want to make it seem those people who are innocent who were duped. But what the mission we want to stop as the community and the South African society, people putting those for benefit, that's what we want to stop. And I think the law does make room for those who are innocent who make that presentation in court. And I think before the discussion, we might have to, because when I look at the distinction, the definition of misrepresentation is as we put it, as Sam said, because what we want to look at is the document that is presented in public. Does the document meet the criteria that we put? Is it authentic? Is it registered? Is it obtained lawfully? Because the lawfulness will go to the fraud and misrepresented innocence. That's the discussion I think we're having now as colleagues here. That maybe
you're giving us another option.
Because we can still have the registers for to make the distinction between the two. Like this one is fraudulent and this one is innocently misrepresented by having probably a definition of a register in the documentation. But we're just saying if it is not authentic, fraudulent and misrepresentation is just not authentic, and authentic is already defined. So we test it against those.
Okay, that's
what I picked up is not that we are getting a different
position.
It is how. It is how we are packaging.
Yeah.
And that is I'm also supporting. I think the issue here is let's keep it to the basic principles and see how we can simplify the legislation to be easily understood by any person. And if the definitions can be crisp and succinct and address the real issues based on that, and then the registers will obviously be much easier to deal with. The mischief is to identify qualifications that's on the national learner base that shouldn't be there. But there's a process when it comes to fraudulent, there is also a need to identify those so that it can be listed and the national learner database can also be cleaned up.
All right.
So we can deal with it outside and come back with a proposal to the committee.
Okay. Good. Thank you for that. Honourable members, at this stage, I want to ask, let's take a human break and open that door also so that the light can come in and proper ventilation, as Honourable Kekana says, can come in. We took this way of coming to. He really wanted to ask, can't we have a break now? But then he said, where is the microphone? And then, can we take a 5-10 minute break and then.
I also make note that it is incomplete.